Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to ATP Radio with Barry Nussbaum.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of ATP Radio with me, Barry Nussbaum. Today we're going to discuss Iran and their race to the bomb. And when I mean bomb, we're talking about nuclear bombs, you know, the weapon of mass destruction that hasn't been used in a war situation since 1945 when the United States dropped two bombs on Japan at Nagasaki and Hiroshima. But Iran is now attempting to become the newest state to have nuclear weapons and is promising the world that if and when they do get them, they plan to use them. We're also going to talk a little bit about border security today. But before we get to that, I want to remind everybody, if any of you out there listening have not yet subscribed to our text message alert system, please take out your cell phones now and text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, and send it to 88202. What that will do is you'll be automatically subscribed for free to our text message alert system. You'll get all of our ATP radio notifications, our live television, our articles with all of the contributors to American Truth Project, and you'll get it on your cell phone, and it's always free. And for those of you who want to be on our mailing list, you can go to americantruthproject.org and sign up there, and you'll get the same stuff, and you'll get it in your email. Remember, content is always free. One more housekeeping message. If you want to call in with questions about either of the big topics of today, please call 516-595-8069 and push 1. You'll be connected to Annie Cyrus, our producer, and you can ask her questions. She will let me know who's there and what the questions are, and I'll get to as many as I can. Remember that number, 516-595-8069. Push 1, and you'll get Annie and can put your questions in the queue. So what happened with Iran? Let's start with a summary. For decades, actually since the Iranian Revolution in 1979, Iran has been very vocal about their desire to kill the world's Jews. All of the Israelis in the state of Israel, and to destroy America. America, in their verbiage, is the big Satan, and Israel is the little Satan. And I know it sounds silly when we have an adult discussion, but chanting death to America and death to Israel is not only common, it's constant. And they put it on their missiles that get paraded in the capital of Tehran. They say it in their speeches. It's chanted by the demonstrators that are assembled and bussed into the square in Tehran. It's in the mosques that the mullahs give their sermons in. And it's on signs hung everywhere in the country. And it's constantly in the media. So let's not be anything but totally clear. This country is a fascist dictatorship run by a religion who claims their mission in life, as far as a government, is to destroy America and destroy Israel. And they announce it constantly and ubiquitously, meaning it's everywhere and it's all the time. When the demonstrations were going on at the end of the Obama administration in Tehran, they called it the Green Revolution. Obama did nothing to push back on this. The demonstrators want to be aligned with the West. They want to escape from the tyranny of a religion gone mad. And what did Obama do? Well, he allowed, pardon me, he allowed the mullahs to order, double sneeze, I'm so sorry. He allowed the mullahs to shoot down the demonstrators in the streets. Obviously, it quelled the revolution. The demonstrators that were not imprisoned, were not killed, retreated, and the wide open, wildly popular demonstrations against the regime went away. Why? Because there was no one to support their call to de-weaponize and overthrow the government. So during this period, in the not too recent pre-Trumpian past, the Iran nuclear deal was in place. It was pushed through illegally in the United States by Obama. It never had approval. He didn't call it a treaty, so it didn't require the U.S. Senate, which he knew he would not be able to get. So it was called an agreement. Despite that deal being in place, Iran did not back down on their weaponization program. And the Mossad proved it to the world. For those of you that don't know, the Mossad is the Secret Service of Israel, famous all over the world for incredible acts of espionage, courage, and sometimes assassinations. And what did they do? They broke into a warehouse that stored all the records of the nuclear program that Iran was running on a clandestine basis that the world seemingly had ignored. And so what did Israel do with the thousands of pounds of documents, CDs, DVDs, pictures, maps, testimony? Well, they took it to the UN. And Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, made a presentation on the dais at the United Nations, and he showed them the evidence. Then he showed it to President Trump. That there's no question that Iran is weaponizing uranium beyond the nuclear deal that everyone was signed up to enforce and adhere to. Keep in mind, this is from pre-Trumpian days when the deal was still in place. And it was obvious that they were intending to send bombs to Israel, America, and possibly Europe to destroy the West and further their goal of a worldwide caliphate under an Iranian leadership of radical Shiite Islam. So, Trump believed the evidence, and he acted. The EU did nothing. The UN did nothing. So here's a question as we get deeper into this. If you were running Israel, what would you do? Would you sit back and wait until a missile or a bomb smuggled in, say, through Greece or Turkey in a shipping container vaporized Tel Aviv? Iran is promising to do that every week in all the forums I told you about. If you were running Israel, would you wait? Or would you preemptively do your best to take out the perpetrators? Well, in the past, there have been a few assassinations here and there, people running the Iran nuclear program. No clear claim of responsibility, but the worldwide consensus is it's Israel or Israeli support or Israeli, what's the right word, co-conspirators, so to speak. There was some sabotage of computers. The most famous is the Stuxnet program that was somehow uploaded into the computers controlling the centrifuges that are enhancing uranium to weapons grade fuel for bombs, well beyond what is needed to run a peaceful nuclear program. Keep in mind, Iran needs more energy like an eagle needs a third wing. They're sitting on 1,000 years of oil. The idea that they want a peaceful nuclear program is a blatant and stupid lie, and nobody should believe it. So everything that at that time Obama had promised in his famous Rose Garden speech from the White House all turned out to be lies. I'll refresh your memory. I remember the speech very clearly. He said there would be any time, anywhere, unlimited inspections of all nuclear sites in Iran. Every site, anytime, anywhere, no notice. Every single thing he promised was a lie, and none of it has happened. Instead, Iran banned some of those nuclear sites from any inspections ever in perpetuity because they said they had secret stuff there. What? Duh. Another excuse was those are military sites, so you can't come see our military. Or we want appointments in advance, and then we will decide. Obviously, in a few of those cases, the IAEA, which is the United Nations International Energy Commission, did the inspections, found traces of nuclear radiation, but nothing was there. Why? Well, the appointment had been made 3 weeks in advance. Duh. So the EU did nothing. The UN did nothing. They kept trading, and they still do, with Iran, now subject to Trump sanctions. And what did Trump do? Well, he became president, and he did what he said he was going to do, pulled out of the Iran nuclear deal. Why? Because Iran was cheating like crazy, and everybody knew it, and Bibi proved it. So fast forward to last week. What happened? Well, somebody killed the head of the Iranian nuclear weapons program, a guy named Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. And he wasn't just some civilian scientist. Was a general in the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC. And this is the group that repeatedly threatens to wipe Israel off the map and kill every single person in Israel. And this general ran the program designed to give Tehran the weapon to carry out its threat. Are you hearing me? The IRGC, the world's leading terror organization, exporting revolution all over the world and personally involved in a program to destroy every single human being in Israel and eventually America, was taken out. What did Iran do? Well, a couple days ago, they've advanced a bill in their parliament, all nuclear inspections, which, by the way, is no big deal because the world doesn't get to see the important inspection sites anyway. They are off limits, contrary to the JCPOA, which, if you remember, was the technical name of the Iran nuclear deal, and it stands for Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. So the government has a new bill that says if the signatories to the 2015 bill that was put in place before Trump took office do not provide oil and banking sanctions and give Iran a lot of money as compensation, then everyone's going to be locked out and they're going to do whatever they want. So listen to this, America. While they're debating the bill in parliament, which, by the way, the parliament's worthless. It's the grand Ayatollah that decides what's going on. The parliament is worthless. It creates a place to, I guess, film and creates an illusion of some sort of democracy, even though every single person who runs is literally approved by the Ayatollahs. There are no free elections. The lawmakers stood up and started chanting death to America and death to Israel. They make no secret of what the plan is. So they're debating this bill, giving European countries a 3-month deadline to ease all sanctions, give them full access to the world banking system. And if the EU doesn't capitulate, they promised to make more facilities available off limits and take more stuff underground, and they will, and they promise it. All requirements of the Iran nuclear deal, meaning we're going to build bombs, nothing you can do about it unless you give us lots of money and trade with us and cancel all of your inspection ideas. Now, Israel hasn't commented on the killing. No one has claimed responsibility. Now they're saying the UN might have leaked information to Israel to be able to find this guy that they killed, and nobody knows if that's true or not true. There's also another report out of Iran that he was assassinated by robots. That's kind of cute. Experts in the IAEA are now saying Iran might have enough low-enriched uranium to reprocess into making two atomic bombs if they decided to do it quickly. So this is the main point of what we're going to talk about today. How did the world respond to this killing? Now, keep in mind, this guy was a general in the world's largest terror organization that every single time there's press, chants death to Israel, death to America, they burn the flags, and they make all kinds of incendiary promises about the mass murder they're going to perpetrate. You would think somebody in charge of a mass murder development program would be considered a undesirable bad guy, wouldn't you think? Doesn't that make sense to you? And this isn't a guy threatening to kill a couple of people or blow up a car or throw a grenade in a window of a school bus. Those are all things these people do. Or slaughter people at prayer. They're talking about mass murder, the likes of which the world has never, ever seen, with the intent of committing mass genocide. Wouldn't you think the head guy would have a huge target on his head, much greater than Osama bin Laden, who in comparison was an amateur who killed a few thousand people? Come on, America. This guy was wanting to kill tens of millions. I've laid it out to you. Now comes the answer. Let's start with the celebrations for his death. Oh, no, 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 no. Let's start with a top aide to my favorite liberal senator, Bernie Sanders. This gentleman says, this is coming from Bernie Sanders' camp, that Israel is guilty of international terrorism. Matt Duss, the Sanders foreign policy advisor, who hates Israel and doesn't like Jews either, pretty much, wrote on Twitter that incoming President Joe Biden should re-enter the landmark nuclear deal with Iran and, get this, give Iran billions and billions of dollars in sanctions relief to send a message to Israel that, quote, terrorism doesn't work. In other words, the mass murderer, potentially, that was assassinated, maybe by Israel, maybe not, his death is worth billions and billions of dollars because killing him before he could kill millions is terrorism. And Iran should be compensated with billions of dollars as a punishment to Israel. Could somebody please nominate this guy for Idiot of the Month? His name is Matt Duss. Here's a guy you probably have heard of. You remember John Brennan? He was Obama's director of the CIA. He said what was done to kill the general was a criminal act and highly reckless. It risks lethal retaliation and a new round of regional conflict. But, he cautioned, Iranian leaders would be wise to wait for the return of a responsible American leadership i.e. Joe Biden, and to resist the urge to respond against perceived culprit. In a second quote, Brennan said, "I do not know whether a foreign government authorized or carried out this murder. Such an act of state-sponsored terrorism would be a flagrant violation of international law and encourage more governments to carry out lethal attacks against foreign officials." You know, throughout World War II, for those that study history, there were many plots on an international scale to kill Hitler. One almost succeeded. It was actually perpetrated by Germans in the military, but they failed. They were all executed. Hitler survived. Had he been killed, the war would have ended, and tens of millions would have lived. Nobody, and I mean nobody, looks back in history and says, "Oh, killing Hitler, that would have been state-sponsored terrorism." No, it would have saved hundreds of millions, or at least tens of millions of lives. This is slightly different. Why? Because Hitler had weapons, but not nuclear weapons. If Hitler had a nuclear program that had been successful before the end of the war, he might have wiped out the world. Literally. The guy that just died was intent on doing just that. And Brennan calls that terrorism. CNN and the New York Times suggested that the scientist, that's what they called it, a scientist was simply a researcher. And this might be considered a war crime. They leave out the part that the dead scientist was really a general in the world's largest terror organization, the IRGC. And the IRGC threatens to murder millions of Jews, well, pretty much weekly. Remember, by the way, for your questions, I see them stacking up here. Call 516-595-8069, push 1. Speak to Annie, our producer, and she will give me your questions, of which I'm going to jump in and look at a couple of them now. A listener says, "If I was Israel, I would pull a false flag operation to justify full-blown war against Iran and then destroy their military." Well, Israel has about 100 plans on what to do with Iran, and had, for the first time in many years, a strong ally in President Trump. And I would imagine, from what I'm hearing, there's a lot of distress about the possibility that he may not be there in January. And Joe Biden, who doesn't have the same view of the Middle East, will be a new president along the lines of Barack Obama for Israel to deal with. Maybe this listener has something. Question number 2, the United Nations is a Muslim-infested organization. Why won't Israel withdraw from the UN and act independently towards Iran's crimes? Israel pretty much has been acting independently. I asked that exact question of two ambassadors from Israel in different times, in different meetings. Why does Israel participate in the UN? It seems like a folly. If you go to school every day and you're harassed in your classroom every single day by everybody, at some point, don't you want to go to a different school? Well, if it was a school, the answer would be yes. If it's the UN, the answer is no, because there ain't no place else to go. So just as this non-aligned bloc votes against the American interests on every single vote in the General Assembly, so do they do the same thing against Israel. I'll tell you what, you'd sure want to go in there if you were an ambassador and have a flask in your purse or jacket just to be able to calm down. I don't know how those ambassadors can get through a day of so much abuse. Okay, let's move on. Following the assassination, Barack Obama's former ambassador to China, a guy named Max Baucus, just a couple days ago, accused Israel of having, quote, nefarious motives in the Middle East. He appeared on Fox News, and he says Israel likely assassinated the Iranian nuclear general in order to sabotage, this is really weird, President-elect Joe Biden's ability to re-enter the Iran nuclear deal, which President Donald Trump pulled out of a few years ago. This expert, I put that in quotes, Baucus, says Israel's nefarious ulterior motive is to complicate matters in the Middle East and make things difficult for Biden to try to re-enter the Iran nuclear accord. Now, this guy was a former senator from Montana, endorsed Biden for president, and was ambassador to China for 2014 and 2017. That's not his dumbest comment. I pulled this up this morning. After Trump was sworn in, Baucus was giving interviews on Chinese television in which he praised China and he compared Trump to, drumroll please, Adolf Hitler, one of the greatest mass murderers of all time. I'm pretty sure Trump hasn't killed anybody. Hitler discovered a way to destroy half the world. This idiotic comment is on Biden's advisory team and used to work for President Obama. But there's more. The LA Times, in a piece titled "Gunned Down Iranian Nuclear Scientist Was an Israeli Target for Years." That was the title of the impartial article. And here's the opening line. He was one of Iran's preeminent nuclear scientists, the country's answer to Robert Oppenheimer, the American physicist who led the U.S. effort to build a nuclear bomb during World War II. God, is that a stupid thing to say. For those of you that don't know, Robert Oppenheimer was the head of the Los Alamos Laboratory in World War II, and he's credited as being the father of the atomic bomb. They wanted to develop the atomic bomb in World War II because they knew Germany was working on one, and they wanted to end the war as fast as possible. They didn't need it against Germany, but they used it against Japan, and it ended the war. The other Robert Oppenheimer, the Iranian one who just died, Brigadier General Fakhrizadeh, has been bragging that if they get a bomb, they're going to slaughter a lot of people. Totally different. The IRGC is the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism, and it supports Hezbollah, Hamas, and other terror groups like the Houthis who slaughter innocents on a daily basis. Can you imagine who they would have shared the bomb technology with if they got it? And equally important, how many people they would have killed if they used it. And it's not just a goofball theory. I'm quoting them. They said they would. Don't you at a certain point have to believe people that said they're coming to kill you? The Bible said you're supposed to. I agree. So there are some now saying in the United States, this is getting weirder, that the assassination is the first step against Iran's nuclear program. You ready for what step two is? Supposedly, sources around the president, the current president, say that Donald Trump was contemplating a strike on Iran's main nuclear site to prevent them from building a bomb. And the platform Axios reported that Israel is taking steps to be ready for such a strike. While that's going on, Secretary of State Pompeo, who in this person's opinion, has done a bang-up job. He's fantastic as Secretary of State. And he's like the anti-Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State or John Kerry as Secretary of State, both of which were highly destructive to American foreign policy. Mike Pompeo is leading the charge to intensify the applications of sanctions on Iran that are designed to be difficult to undo for President Joe Biden. We shall see. He ain't sitting down on the job, and he's working hard at it. Here's a question that came in. Maybe Israel should be punished for botching the assassination, this listener writes. For crying out loud, they forgot to have a patsy. Iraq would have been a good candidate. You know, that's an interesting way to look at it. Israel very rarely confirms or denies, but wink, 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 they've made no secret that a world without this terrorist is a much better world. Remember, make the phone call, talk to Annie. I'm happy to answer as many questions as we can get to. Obviously, I can't answer them all. The number to call is 516-595-8069, push 1. So the major networks are getting on board on this same subject. And the broadcast networks are worried that Biden's plan to make friends with Iran could be affected negatively by this assassination. This week, all three major network morning shows mourn the death of General Fakhrizadeh. They mourned as if he's some sort of world humanitarian. And they said that they feared his killings would make it harder for the incoming Biden administration basically to appease the brutal authoritarian regime in Tehran. Hosts and correspondents worried that this event would place Joe Biden in a very awkward position while he tries to re-implement the disastrous Iran nuclear deal. Savannah Guthrie on NBC's Today Show said tensions are now high as a funeral is held for Iran's top nuclear scientist who was assassinated in a targeted hit. Their chief foreign correspondent, a guy named Richard Engel, was very sorrowful when he reported, quote, as Iran buried its top nuclear scientist this morning, assassinated in his car on Friday by a hit team outside Tehran last Friday, there are vows for revenge and claim the weapons, including a remotely controlled machine gun, came from Israel. So besides Israel saying it was a good thing and the Trump White House saying the same, the sole sane voice I could find on this subject came from retired British Colonel Richard Kemp, very famous for leading the British forces in Afghanistan. And he says that the elimination of Fakhrizadeh was the latest and arguably most significant, including all the cyber attacks, all the sabotage, all the covert action, because this guy was the head of the nuclear program. He also says the potential effectiveness of all of these actions has been increased by President Trump's maximum pressure campaign of economic sanctions. So all of these measures stand the best chance of slowing Iran's nuclear program, as well as restraining its non-nuclear aggression, short of some sort of military strike. But what I don't get is you've got all these correspondents, all these Europeans, you've got John Brennan, the advisor to Biden, the advisor to Senator Sanders, all saying this is horrible. Do they just not understand that people are saying in Iran they're building bombs and we're going to use them and they're going to put them on missiles and we're going to send the missiles over and we're going to kill you? Why in the world? Why in the world is there romanticization of potentially a mass murderer much worse than Hitler, Mao, or Stalin. I don't get it. Israeli intelligence says this killing may have a profound effect on the nuclear program. The former head of Israel's military intelligence unit, Amman, says that senior Iranian scientists, especially this one killed, were so important it may be impossible to replace him, and this could seriously set back their program. How much that setback will take to fix, nobody knows. But this general goes on to say, there's no doubt that Fakhrizadeh was the core source of authority, knowledge, and organization of the nuclear program, and the damage could not be precisely measured regarding his death because nobody knows exactly the scope and depth of where the program was. But its implications are now spreading. The head of Hezbollah, which, as you know, is a world-recognized terror organization, 100% supported by, trained by, and funded by Iran. They're situated in Lebanon and parts of Syria. Their head, Hassan Nasrallah, says he's going to kill every Jew on planet Earth. That's his mission in life. He's now hiding underground. Why? Because of what happened a couple days after the first assassination. Iran's IRGC commander, he's about third in power in Iran. You may remember that a few months ago, the head of the IRGC was killed, and Iran promised a big retaliation. The guy that just died a couple days ago was a fellow named Muslim Shahdan, and he was killed by a drone strike near the Syrian-Iraqi border a couple days ago. The drone targeted the Revolutionary Guard commander's car. Two Iraqi security officials have both said separately that that vehicle was loaded with weapons and was hit shortly after it crossed the border from Iraq into Syria. Israel and the United States accuse Iran and its proxies of smuggling in weapons about every week from Iraq into Syria and Lebanon to be used against Israel, but nobody does anything about it except Israel. A couple days ago, on Sunday, IDF, which is the Israeli Defense Force Chief Aviv Kohavi, says that Israel will not let up on its campaign aimed at keeping Iran-backed fighters from gaining a foothold in Syria. And he says our campaign has included thousands of airstrikes on targets linked to Iran and weapons convoys, and they literally blow them up every couple of days. One last question on Iran before we talk about border security. A listener writes in, why do you think, Barry, the left romanticizes genocidal terrorists? You know, that is something I have been struggling with for years. I can't for the life of me figure it out. I remember years ago being in college and a bunch of kids were wearing Che Guevara t-shirts. Che Guevara was the revolutionary who worked with Castro in the late 50s and early 60s to overthrow the Batista regime in Cuba and to put into power the Castro family, who's been in power ever since. There's never been an election since then. They killed all the opposition. Che Guevara was famous for lining up men, women, and children and shooting them in firing squads. He delighted to brag about how many people he personally murdered because they didn't agree with communism. I'm talking thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people he murdered. And yet, 99% of the kids and young adults and adults that wear Che Guevara t-shirts, or sometimes they'll have t-shirts with his face in silhouette and the word Che, C-H-E, over his face, as if he's some sort of messianic figure in politics, some sort of revolutionary that is a great guy. And the truth is, sorry, mass murderer, not to be emulated, lionized. If anything, say his word and spit, as my mother used to do, because that's what should happen. I cannot explain the romantic interest in people who commit murder. It's almost like if you kill one or two people, that's a horrible crime. And if you kill like a dozen, like you're a serial killer, that's a really bad crime. But if you kill thousands, people look for some way to justify it, whether it's Mao or Stalin or Pol Pot or Che Guevara or whomever. And the IRGC, if they get a bomb, will make everybody I just mentioned into amateur status, the likes of which the world has never, ever seen. So we're talking immigration for a minute. Remember, your questions should go to 516-595-8069. 516-595-8069. Push 1. Talk to Annie. She'll get me the question as fast as possible, and I'll do my best to get to it. So let's talk about immigration, Trump versus Biden. Lots of press coming out of the Biden president-elect camp, as if he's for sure going to be president. I'm going to have this discussion without a discussion as to whether or not he should be or will be president. We don't know any of those things yet. But the word is there's going to be a whole ton of immigration changes, and they're going to come out furiously at the start of a Biden presidency, which will start January 20th. According to what I've read, Biden's plan now includes a moratorium on all deportations and ending the travel ban restrictions coming from countries that we haven't been able to verify who the people are, because the countries are virtual territories, not operational governments. If you remember, the left called that the Muslim ban. And so Biden wants to end that. Anybody can come in now. People familiar with Biden's other plans have said the former vice president is going to restore DACA, citizenship for the kids that were born here when their parents broke into the country illegally. He's going to stop all deportations, at least for a 100-day moratorium. He's going to end the Remain in Mexico border policy. He's going to allow an Obama-era program that at-risk children can come in by requesting refugee status. He's going to increase the numbers that can come in. And according to what Biden said, he will not allow 1 inch of border wall to be built. Instead, we'll have programs that work. So that really annoyed me when I heard that, as if a border wall is some sort of, well, aluminum foil structure that you could go through with a rock and a pea shooter, or bite it open and climb through. That's not really true. So I started pulling statistics from the people that are on the border. And here's what has been published by Border Patrol Enforcement. As of a few weeks ago, the Trump administration has funded 738 miles of wall. 386 miles have been completed. 195 are being built. And in the pre-construction phase is another 157 miles. So the bottom line is the Trump administration is well on its way to meeting the goal of having 450 miles of new border wall system deployed by December 31, 2020. Yay, President Trump. Here's what Border Patrol says. Illegal drugs, illegal border crossing, and human smuggling activities have decreased in every single area where the barriers have been completed. And here are the summaries I pulled today. In San Diego, in one short 12-mile section in the San Diego border sector, the wall has reduced CBP, Customs and Border Patrol, manpower requirements by 150 agents every single day. That's $28 million saved in just salaries and benefits alone. And those agents were redeployed to fill resource gaps in other areas of the border, improving security elsewhere. In addition, CPB San Diego field office continues to be a significant source of narcotic seizures. From fiscal 19 to fiscal 20, seizures of fentanyl, marijuana, and methamphetamine all increased, with meth seizures jumping at alarming rates, demonstrating that the border wall is forcing drug smugglers to where we are best to catch them on our ports of entry. If you ask them in San Diego, they love the wall. Let's go to Yuma, Arizona. Illegal entries in areas with the new border wall system have plummeted 87% in 1 year, almost eliminating the problem. That's incredible news. In fiscal year 19, Customs and Border Patrol deployed a temporary barrier, which is now replaced with a permanent one at the Sanchez Canal, which resulted in illegal entries decreasing in that specific area by 1,000 people every month. In an areas of the older fence, which has not been repaired yet, Yuma sector apprehended 12 large groups of over 100 people in 2019. And when the fence went in this year, that dropped from 20 groups of over 100, that's 2,000 minimum, to zero. In the Yuma section, family unit entries are down, get this, hold on to your hat, 95%. Think the fence is working, America? In the Rio Grande Valley sector, this is now Texas, RGV Zone 1, they're announcing massive decreases in all areas where the construction of the border wall is complete. Here's the stats. 79% decrease in apprehensions in Zone 1 since the border wall was completed. 26% decrease in narcotic seizures since the wall was completed. In another section of RGV, Rio Grande Valley, prior to construction of the wall, it was common to see illegal aliens running across heavily traveled roads in groups. Doesn't exist at all anymore. How about El Paso? El Paso has experienced a significant reduction in drugs and smuggling in zones 14 and 15. Apprehensions are down 60% in zone 14 and 81% in zone 15 in just 1 year. El Paso Station says they're down 70% in human apprehensions. So, America, let's call facts facts. I just gave you a ton of statistics. Does it make sense that we are safer with the wall there or safer without the wall there? Why do you think anybody that had two brain cells that were operational would argue against a barrier? Do you lock your door at night? I hope so. Why do you do that? To keep the bad guys out. Biden says you'll be safe without a wall, that other systems work better. I have no clue what he's talking about, and I guarantee to you, you will never hear from him what works better than a 30-foot unclimbable wall that once it's built has very little maintenance requirements. Ask yourself this, inside of America, this Nancy Pelosi, this Joe Biden, this Kamala Harris, Governor Newsom in California, do they all have walls and gates? Uh-huh, they all do. Look on the internet. You can see video. People go there and video their walls all the time. Why do those people get walls and gates? The answer is simple. Keep out the bad people. Why do they get them and you don't if you live in Arizona or Texas or California and you're near the border? I used to go to the border all the time when I worked for the governor in California, and we would see people pouring across every single night in the hundreds and sometimes more. But I mean every single day. Some are good people. Some are bad people. Some are bringing weapons. Some are bringing drugs. Some are smuggling in children to be sold into slavery. Some might be smuggling in drugs that could be used for weaponization, like fentanyl to destroy society, or heroin, or cocaine, or whatever. Boy, is this a perfect question that just came in. Barry, do you think Islamic terrorism will increase if Biden opens the borders and lifts the, quote, Muslim ban, unquote? Absolutely. You know, I remember sitting a fellow with BPB, Border Customs and Border Patrol, and he said to me, most are decent people just wanting a job. But out of the thousands and thousands that come, it doesn't take more than one or two to have a backpack filled with weapons or poison to put into a water supply or pieces of a weapon that then get put together with someone else that has pieces of a weapon to cause mass panic. Can you imagine when this COVID thing is behind us and there's people in stadiums and train stations and airports again? Bombs started going off in crowded places like what happened in Manchester, England during the Ariana Grande concert, which, by the way, perpetrated by a terrorist to create fear because the British weren't supporting the same religion as the terrorists wanted supported. It's got to make you think that out of the thousands that come in, it doesn't take too many to create terror. It's not an army invading. It's a suicide person who's got a bomb in his backpack, like at the finish line of the Boston Marathon or the Pulse nightclub or any one of a number of U.S. military installations or the killings in San Bernardino. It doesn't much to cause terror. And if you can walk back and forth across a border that is nothing more than a line on the dirt, if that, why in the world would you Americans allow your leaders to tell you with a straight face you don't need a wall? You can be just as safe with sensors. It is, without a doubt, the dumbest thing I have ever heard a politician in this country say. And before we sign off, we only have a couple minutes. If you have any questions, do it now. They say there's only one reason someone would argue against a closed border, and that is because they want as many people in as possible to create as many voters as possible that support their political position. Some years ago, when I was working for the governor, I was contacted by the head of the Democrat Party in San Diego, and she wanted me to support her for, I think, a run for Congress. And my question for her was, well, can I ask you a couple questions? And she said, of course. And I said, do you support a wall on the border between San Diego and Tijuana? And she said, why are you asking? I said, well, it's really important because bad people are coming across that border, and they can bring drugs, or they can bring weapons, or they can bring slaves, And none of those things is any good, and I don't want that here. And she said to me, we don't need a wall. We just need to have electronic monitoring, and they won't come. Well, that went on for 10 more years or 20 more years until Trump became president. And every year, tens of thousands were coming in, and voters for the Democrats, because they worked very hard to grant them the ability to vote. Why do they want to do that? Well, if all you care about is remaining in office and your party winning year after year, you don't care where the voters are coming from, because it's all about retention of power, not about the best policy. I hope you can see that. It disgusts me without beyond words. I'm very sad to say that in the case of this specific person, I couldn't hang up fast enough, and I couldn't get away from her fast enough. I, at this point, am disgusted that what Trump worked so hard to do, I'm not endorsing him as president. I don't do that. But this specific policy by the president was outstanding, was decades overdue, and brilliant in its simplicity, put up a barrier, less bad people get in. Take down a barrier, more bad people come in. The end. He was right. Biden's wrong on this. That's all there is to say about it. Okay, I hope you enjoyed our discussion today. I hope I got you thinking a little bit. Please remember, take out your cell phones now. In the message box at the bottom, on your text message system that's blank, type the word truth, T-R-U-T-H, and text it to 88202 for send. Within about 3 seconds, you'll be subscribed to our text message alert system. You'll be signed up to get all of our stuff for free. ATP Radio, everything Annie does, everything that Katie Hopkins does, everything that Will Johnson does, and all of the shows with all of our guests and all of our articles, everything for free. We never charge you for content. Just text the word truth to 88202. It's free. You'll be subscribed. It won't cost you a thing. It takes about 5 seconds. And if you're old-fashioned, go to our website, AmericanTruthProject.org, and sign up for free there. It's the same stuff. It's just a different pathway for you to get our stuff. AmericanTruthProject.org. It's free. By the way, my new BYA book, Because You Asked, is out now. It's on Amazon. If you go to the website and sign up, you'll be able to get the first 3 chapters for free. Go to our website, AmericanTruthProject.org, or sign up for our text alerts, and you can get the book for free. First 3 chapters, no charge. So thanks for joining us today on ATP Radio. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next week. For ATP, I'm Barry Nussbaum.
You were listening to ATP Radio. Make sure to text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to 88202 to be notified of our future radio shows.